So today we're moving past Klisha Melachta Lisser. Now it's time to move on to Klisha Melachta Laheter as well as Kisvei HaKodesh. That's going to be on the agenda for today. So the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Dalid, we're going in order. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Dalid, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chav Dalid Min Aleph, if you recall, that same Gemara that spoke about Klisha Melachta Lisser, the line before it told us the rules about Tzorach Guf and Tzorach Mekomo. For Klisha Melachta Lisser, told us about Klisha Melachta Laheter. And what the Gemara said is that Dover Shem Melachta Laheter, Beilin Tzorach Guf, Beilin Tzorach Mekomo, and Shalol Tzorach Vafilu Micham Litzel. That when it comes to Klisha Melachta Laheter, you can move Tzorach Guf, Tzorach Mekomo, and even Micham Litzel. However, says the Shulchan Aruch over here, Klisha Melachta Laheter Motzul Tal Tzorach Vafilu Tzorach Hakli Shalol Yishover Yiganev Aval Shalol Tzorach Klal Also Tal Tzorach. That even a Klisha Melachta Laheter, if there's no Tzorach whatsoever, you're not allowed to be metaltal it. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains, he says, Einu Muvan Hakivin Shemetaltal and Vada Yesh. What does it mean, Shalol Tzorach Klal? Why are you moving it if it's Shalol Tzorach Klal? Meaning, obviously, you have some sort of intention in moving it. You're handling it for some reason. So what does that mean? What is even in the category of Shalol Tzorach Klal? So he says, V'tzorach lomar, kikon de'enu ela mis'asek bi'alma, ve'inlo shum kavana b'tziltulo. It means that you're not even paying attention to what you're doing. You're just messing around with it, and you're having zero kavana in moving it. Achim yesh lo tanug b'mashem metaltalo. But if you enjoy carrying that item, let's say one of those stress balls or something, right? So nihid b'malachto li'isalo nachshav zetzorach haguf. Well, maybe that would probably... Yeah, if you enjoy carrying it for some reason, maybe that's not called tzorach haguf for klisha melachta l'isser. Mikol makom b'melachta l'heter v'adei d'mutter. With the melachta l'heter, it's for sure going to be mutter. So let's say it would be the difference. It sounds to me from the Aruch HaShulchan would be the difference. Let's assume forks and knives were in this category, which they're not. But let's assume that they were in this category of a klisha melachta l'heter that you're not allowed to be metaltal shalot tzorach klal. So it would mean that if you're just having a conversation and you're just like touching the fork or moving the fork. As you're talking without even realizing what you're doing, that would be a problem. But if you're flipping it around your fingers like you do a pen during learning, so that's geschmack, so that's giving you some hana'a, so that would be mutter. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan is magdir. So the Shulchan Aruch just adds, based on the Ran, that moving food or kisvei hakodesh is mutter, even shalol l'tzorach klal. Right? That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that kisvei hakodesh va'achlin mutter l'tatal mafilu shalol l'tzorach klal. That all bets are off. So the Shabur and Sivkat L'chav Beis says that what are kisvei hakodesh? Kol asvarim shemutter l'kros ben. It doesn't just mean like a cloth. It doesn't just mean like you have the cloth of a Navi or a Sefer Torah or something like that. It means any book, any Sefer that you would read from is automatically going to be mutter and not even a Klisha Melachta Laheter. However, he quotes the Shari Tshuva in Tafresh Sadi Gimel Aleph, who quotes other poskim that a Megillah is Muktza. That a Megillah, even though it is Kisvei HaKodesh, that a Megillah is going to be Muktza. However, the Shari Tshuva says there's no machlokas about Megillah. Everyone would agree that it all depends when we're talking about. If it's when Purim falls on Shabbos, so there's a particular takana that Chazal made, a particular gezeirah, rather the Chazal made, that you're going to carry a Dalet Amos Bereshis Rabim. That's why we don't lay the Megillah on Shabbos, right? Haina time of Dululav, haina time of the Shofar, that we don't lay the Megillah on Shabbos because of Shemi Avrienu Dalet Amos Bereshis Rabim. So since Chazal made a specific takana not to lay the Megillah, so it becomes Muktzah on Shabbos Dafka when Purim is on Shabbos. But on all other Shabbos of the year, there's no gzeira against the Megillah. So I happen to have a Megillah sitting on my desk in a Megillah case. So if I want to look up a pasuk or something in the Megillah, and my Tanakh is out from my desk, one of my kids took it for homework or something, so I could take out the Megillah, open it up, and look up the pasuk in the Megillah, that would be fine. It's only when Purim falls on Shabbos that it's going to be a problem. Mishra Brura then adds in Sivkar Chav Gimel that Vuadin Kosos Sukaros Vesochikos Vesakash Agabe Yashulchan Ditidirin Betashmish Lo Chala Alayu Toros Muktza Klal. Now, when we say food is not Muktza, it's not even a Klisha Melachta Lehiter. Laheter, it's not only food, it's all normal kelim that you would have at your Shabbos table. And therefore you can be metatal even shalot tzarch. V'yesh machmirin afilu b'kelim edu. But there are some that are machmir even with those kelim. The impression you get from the Mishnah Berurah is that he wants to be makel, not like the v'yesh machmirin that he says, you know, forks, knives, things like that, even shalot tzarch klal. So if you're having one of those interminable Shabbos meals that it's like, you know, it started at 12 and it's like 3:30, 4, and you know they're still schmoozing over dessert. So you're contemplating stabbing yourself with a knife that's at the table. So maybe I'm just the only one that's antisocial, and I shouldn't project onto everybody else. So you're fidgeting with the knife. You're just playing with the knife, or that's perfectly fine. Even though it's mesasik bialma and shalol tzorchal. Questions?
Yeah. Could come a Sefer Torah that's really beautiful, or a Megillah be Muxamach Meschesron Kis?
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a moment, whether Sfarim can get to that point of Muxamach Meschesron Kis or Tefillin and things like that. Yeah? Okay? So, weiter. So, what about a Mezuzah? So, many poskim say that Mezuzah is Muxa, and it's probably Muxamach Meschesron Kis, because Mezuzah, you're Kovea lo Makom. You know, you actually say in the bracha that you're being Kovea. The mezuzah on its makom, so you kaveh lo makom, and you don't use it for anything else. And so Rav Yashiv and Rav Nissim Kralitz, I saw quoted in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, say that no, what are you talking about? It's beferish and shulchan aruch. Mezuzah is kisvei hakodesh. Kisvei hakodesh are not mukta at all. It's not even klishon lachlo laheter. And you can learn from it. You can learn parshas kriyashma from mezuzah. But Rav Nissim Kralov says, if the mezuzah is in its case, so it's not really so accessible to learn Kriya Shema from, then it's going to be muktzah. So in the Sefer Minchas Shabbos, he says that if a mezuzah falls on Shabbos, then that's another reason for it to be muktzah. I mean, it's one thing if you have a mezuzah sitting in your drawer that you haven't used yet, but you have a mezuzah that was on the doorpost when Shabbos started, and then it fell, that's going to be muktzah, because based on the Magen Avraham in the Sifkat and you test that like a door that falls off a house on Shabbos is considered muktzah. So that which was mechuber to your bayis and then fell off of the house, that's also going to be muktzah. So the mezuzah should fit that category. And especially again, if it's in its case, so it's not fit for any use. You can't even read from it when it's closed. So therefore, l'chora should be muktzah. However, the Debre Tzina Rav in his Tshuvas Be'er Moshe, Chelches Simin Ayin Beis, says that mezuzah is never muktzah, that this is an exception to all dinim of muktzah. Whenever you have Kisvei HaKodesh, it's never muktzah at all, even if it was attached to your house beforehand. Now, if you hold its muktzah, what does that mean? So, like, your mezuzah falls on Shabbos, what should you do? Just leave it on the floor? So, Nu, what are you taina? What? That was the Chazon Ish, yeah, that what? Oh, okay, figure out something else that you need to do in that spot. Ah, right, so if it's Chazon Kis, Chazon Ish won't help you. Right, so that's a question that poskim seem to be grappling with, and I saw on both sides of this issue. The fact that it's mutal b'bizayon, does that allow you to be mekel in dine muktzah? So I don't know, meaning you're trying to come up with a way that that's called sorokufa, but that doesn't help if it's muktzah maschesron kis. So I don't know what bizayon of kisvei hakodesh, why it should help, but some poskim seem to assume it does.
Right.
If it's not Muxamach Meschesron Kis, right. So, yeah. So that's the question. Probably it's enough, at least since it is a machlokas, what it is in the first place, whether it's Muxamach Meschesron Kis or not Muxa at all, probably it could be Samech on those Shitos that it's not muksa, or that it's at least leveled down, it's at least knocked down from what the normal level that it would be because it's kesvei hakodesh. That's how some of the achronim explain, as we'll get to in a moment, that when, by virtue of being kesvei hakodesh, it's not as high a level of muksa as it would be. Meaning, if it would be a klishim lachta laheter, it's a nothing. If it would be a klishim lachta laheter, it gets knocked down on the ladder to a klishim lachta laheter v'chule. The Ramah in Sif Dalit quotes a Beis Yosef that tefillin are considered klishim lachta laheter, and you can move them in order to protect them from getting damaged, right? The Ramah writes, "Utfilin ein letalfim ki im letzorech." So what he means by that is that they are a kli shemlachta laheter, and when there is a tzorech, meaning to protect them, you're allowed to move the tefillin. So Mishabura, if you notice in Sifkatan Chavdalin, quotes from the Taz and the Magen Avraham, who say that no, tefillin are a kli shemlachta leiser, based on what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Lamed Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Lamed Aleph, that you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. So if you're not allowed to wear tefillin, it's not just that we're putter from tefillin on Shabbos, it's usher to wear tefillin on Shabbos. So if it's usher to wear tefillin on Shabbos, that makes it a klishim lachta le'isr, not a klishim lachta le'heter. And therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to move it in order to protect it. So you'd only be allowed to move tefillin if it's l'sorach guf or tzorach makomo. Problem, though, is that the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Lamed Aleph seems to contradict what he writes in the Beis Yosef in Siman Shin Ches, because in Lamed Aleph he says, you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos, which means there should be a klishim lachta le'isr. But over here, he very clearly seems that to assume it's a klishim lachta le'heter. So how are we miyashev the Shita Samechaber? The Shita Samechaber in Hilchas Tefillin is that it's a klishim lachta le'isr. He doesn't say it's a klishim lachta le'isr, he just says it's also to wear it on Shabbos. Whereas the Shita Samechaber over here in Siman Shin Ches is that it's a klishim lachta. So the Bir Halacha in Siman Lamed Aleph explains the Kol Etzem Adin Hazeh Mavur B'Siman Shin Ches De Talui Im Aser Isra Hanachas Tefillin B'Shabbos Yom Tov Shloshei Mitzvah Vim Kain. Is there an Isser of Hanachas Tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov Shloshei Mitzvah Vim Kain Lefi Mashe Navi B'Samuch Da Hagra Hu Gam Kain Me'a Makilin B'Zeh Im Kain Me'Melu Gam Kain Me'a Makilin Linyan Tiltul Val Kain B'Vada Yeshalka B'Shasar Chak. He's not Miyashiv, he just says that this is an accurate cheshbon, that they're Talui Zeh B'Zeh, and therefore if the Gra is going to be Mekel and he's going to tell you that there's no isser of putting on tefillin on Shabbos, the Gra's also going to be mekel and tell you that it's a klishim lachta leheter, and therefore you can rely on the Gra b'shas hadchak. So everyone agrees that wearing tefillin on Shabbos l'shem mitzvah is aser. The machlokas is, meaning, right, that's the whole discussion there. Certainly you're not supposed to put on tefillin l'shem mitzvah on Shabbos. Questions, can you put on tefillin for reasons other than l'shem mitzvah? So the Beis Yosef and the Ramah say that it's mutter to wear tefillin shel l'shem mitzvah, so it's tefillin is a klishim. And even though during the week the main function of tefillin obviously is a mitzvah, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says that the act of wearing tefillin is fundamentally mutter. It's only the kavanah, the shei mitzvah, that's problematic. So that's klishim lachta laheter, because that is something that the maisa that you do during the week is mutter to do on Shabbos. Magen Avraham and the Taz, though, argue that wearing tefillin shelo l'shei mitzvah is aser on Shabbos, and therefore tefillin are considered klishim lachta l'iser and can only be moved tzorach gufo mekomo. So the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat Chavdalin and the Bir Halacha in Siman Lamed Aleph say, you know, kedai to be machmir, but you can be mekel b'shas hadchak. So let's say you forgot to take your talis for Shabbos out of your talis tefillin bag, and the tefillin are sort of in the way. So you need to move the tefillin in order to be able to access your talis. So l'chora, there's no shaila in such a case. Why? Even if you hold like the Taz and Magen Avraham is klishim lachta l'iser, but no. It's Tzorach Mekomo, right? The fact that it's in the way, it's Tzorach Mekomo. Kaf HaChaim says that probably best to remove the talis from the bag before Shabbos, because you try not to do Tzorach Mekomo l'chadchila if you remember in advance, right? So better to move it before Shabbos. And Mishnah Brura in Siman Lamed Aleph, Sifkat Neis, says that tefillin that would be bibizayon or desecrated in some way if they're left where they are, like let's say it's outside and it's very hot outside, or it's about to rain or something like that, or you're concerned that it will be stolen, you know, a non-Jew might steal the tefillin. So then even the Magen Avraham and Taz agree that you could move them in order to save them. So, which is interesting, because if you hold that it's a klisha melachto le'isr, you're not allowed to move mecham l'tzal. Magen Avraham and Taz say that it's klisha melachto le'isr. Mishbrun Siman Lamed Aleph thinks that the idea of bizayon of tefillin is enough of a concern to either override or to tell us not to paskin like that Magen Avraham and Taz. But so when does the machlokas even become relevant? If, you know, mechamel itself is going to be mutter anyway, that even the Magen Avraham and the Taz are going to be makel. That's what the Mishmar actually says. The Magen Avraham and the Taz would be makel and would say that you're allowed to move a klishon lachlis or mechamel itself when what's at stake is a bizayin of kisvei hakodesh. I'm not sure what the svara is. Maybe like b'chia gavna lo gazru or something. But when what's at stake is a bizayin of kisvei hakodesh, then you could be makel on the dinim of being metalta mutza. So what's the shaila then? When do you have a machlokas about moving tefillin? Whether it's a klisha machlis or klisha machlaheter, you'd have to say the case is that you don't need to protect the tefillin. You're just protecting your loss. Meaning you think your tefillin are going to get stolen, but not bibizayim. Meaning a Jew will steal them. And he's going to wear them and do mitzvah semaisim tovim or whatever, and he's not going to be mevaza them at all. So, like if a Sefer Torah gets stolen, so typically if a Sefer Torah gets stolen, it was always resold on the black market or something, and it was sold to shuls that were using them or whatever. It wasn't a concern that Sefer Torah were getting stolen and being thrown in the garbage. There wasn't anything like that going on. And now they watermark the klafim so that they could identify the Sefer Torah. I mean, they're all registered. They have like numbers is marked into them so that they can identify them. It's crazy that like you actually have to do that. It's someone once came to my shul and they saw the safe where we keep the Sefer Torah, someone from out of town, from a smaller Jewish community, and he said we would never have a Havamina that we need to do that with the Sefer Torah. I don't know, they need to lock up. I think the safes are more about fire though than they are about anything else, so that unfortunately is also a Havamina that fires can happen. But apparently the idea of it being Bibizayon, even though you're not doing anything, it's not a Maisa Avera, meaning just the result of Tefillin being Bibizayon is actually a good topic. We're not going to get into it right now, but there's a lot written on that. If you're not doing a Maisa where you're, you know, Lo Sasun Kein Lashem Elokeichem, where you're destroying Kisvei HaKodesh or anything, you're not doing anything like that, but it's going to happen, is how much of a concern is that? How much is just that result something that is intolerable for a Jew? You know the famous case where Rav Huttner asked Rav Meisha the Shaila and went to all the Gedolim at the time with the guy who had some sort of very contagious disease. You know this Shaila? There's a guy in like the 70s or something. What? So this guy had this like very contagious disease, and they had to put him in a quarantine. And anyone who would come into the room with him had to be in full, you know, like an astronaut, you know, in the full gear. And they said that he could bring whatever he wants in with him, but when his quarantine is over, they're just burning whatever he brought in with him. So he's got to be there for like 3 weeks, and they're going to burn everything afterwards. So he wanted to know, should he bring tefillin with him? Meaning he's got a mitzvah to do every day for 3 weeks, but if he brings the tefillin, they're gonna burn the tefillin afterwards. So, but he doesn't have to. They're not gonna ask him to light the match. They're just gonna destroy everything. So that was the whole shaila. That's Rav Huttner, I think, is the one that asked. I think was the Shoel in the Igros Moshe that asked the shaila to Rav Moshe on that discussion. So there's an isser in the Torah of Lo Sasun Kein Lashem Elokeichem. You're not allowed to do these things, but is there an isser to allow it to happen or to stand by while it's happening? So you see, Kisvei HaKodesh Mutal B'Bizayon. Apparently, the Mishnah Berurah seems to assume in Siman Lamed Aleph that that's enough of a reason to violate what would be Muksa, according to the Magen Avraham and the Taz, to prevent them. A guy in my shul came over to me once with like an old pair of tefillin, like totally puzzled, really, really old pair of tefillin. He said, "What do I do with these?" I said, "What do you mean? What are they?" And when I put them in Geniza, what's the issue? He said, "I was walking on the street in Manhattan and I saw it in the garbage. This was in the garbage. Someone had thrown it out. So he said, he took it out of the garbage. He saw tefillin that were lying there with bizayon. So that's the right thing to do, right? Meaning you don't let them stay there. Meaning even just letting it happen, even if you're not the one that's doing the iser, that's something that's intolerable for a Jew to have kisvei hakodesh." Meaning it's one of those mitzvahs that's not about the maisa, not only about the maisa, it's a result-oriented iser. That if the result is a bizayin of kisvei hakodesh, that's an intolerable result. So, Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah again says that even Magen Avraham and Taz would agree in such a case. Now, the question is, why isn't tefillin considered Muktzeh Machmas Chasron Kis? You set it aside, in a particular place where you keep them. You put them in a special protective bag. You don't use them for anything else other than when you want to put on tefillin, when you want to do the mitzvah. So Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo writes that ube ikra davar tzarech lomer dikivan shalavishas tefillin b'shabbos chashuv derech malbush. He says wearing tefillin is considered derech malbush. And you're also allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos to protect yourself. And he says, plus, tefillin can be used to learn the halachos of tefillin, so they're not only used for the mitzvah. I just put out on a rabbi chat recently, crowdsourcing. I said, what do people do with bar mitzvah boys when you have the pre-bar mitzvah meeting? So what do rabbis do with bar mitzvah boys? So I was looking for something interesting, because whatever I do, I don't know, it's just do something different every time because I don't have a mahalich. So I was looking for a mahalich. So Rabbi Rosner responded that he has the boy come with his tefillin and put on his tefillin, and he teaches them the halachos of tefillin as he's putting on the tefillin, and he teaches them some of the meaning of tefillin or whatever else. So he's not really doing it l'shem mitzvah at that point. He's doing it just to teach him about the tefillin. So, anyone have good ideas, by the way? What was your experience at your bar mitzvahs? No?
Spoke about the Yankees?
Okay. That's one mahalik.
That's
what Avila does. Yeah. What, the tefillin one or the Yankees one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. with the tefillin.
You bring the Andy Pettit baseball.
Yes. did I just reference that in Shir? Or was that somewhere?
Yeah.
Was it Shir? Because of Muxa Machas Chasun Kis. Yeah, what was I thinking? Yeah, someone told me Rabbi Kelmer Zatzal used to meet with the boy at, like, three or four times for like hours at a time, and like go through his drasha with him and prepare it with him, make sure he says it right and whatever. Like, so yeah, that's what we call them.
You also use a challah to teach people how to check for behemoths, for shvita.
You're not suggesting that for bar mitzvah boy. You're asking why isn't that Muktzeh Machmas Chasron Kis if people use it just to learn Shechita? Meaning if Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying that what takes...
You teach people the halakha of tefillin when you can show them that, yeah, I can bring my Shechita knife and I can show you how to check the behemoth also.
And yet the Shechita knife is still Muktzeh Machmas Chasron Kis. It's a good point. Yeah. I don't know. So therefore, if Shlomo Zalman writes, "L'chein avi chashvinu kikli shemalach l'lisim nei shastam on the mitzvah da'aser b'shabbes mikamakom muktzeh machmas chesron kis lo havi." Even if it's kli shemalach l'lisim, because you pass that you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos, and it's stam on the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to wear it l'shem mitzvah, and certainly not allowed to wear it l'shem mitzvah on Shabbos. Everyone agrees you're not allowed to wear it l'shem mitzvah on Shabbos. It's still not muktzeh machmas chesron kis. Kivin sha'osa hashimu shemasham shemichol mutar gam b'shabbes kishenu miskavin the mitzvah. Since it's mutar to do that same thing, that same activity on Shabbos, since Mikra Din, you can wear tefillin on Shabbos either shalol l'shem mitzvah or as protection. So it's like clothing; it's derech malbush and some muktzah because it could be used for their designated purpose on Shabbos. Additionally, plus the svara that you could use the tefillin to teach somebody. That's what Shlomo Zalman writes in the Tosaf Shabbos Sifkat Chaf Aleph. He says that they're not Muktzeh Machmas Chasron Kis because Kisvei HaKodesh is always one level down on the mitzvah ladder, on the Muktzeh ladder, like we said before. So whatever level of Muktzeh it would be, because it's Kisvei HaKodesh, by virtue of it being Kisvei HaKodesh, it's knocked down one rung. So that which would be Muktzeh Machmas Chasron Kis, which Tefillin maybe would be, because it is Kisvei HaKodesh, it gets knocked down to Kli Shemalach Dali Isser. What about removing Tefillin from a room for the sake of Tashmish Hamita? Right, there's an Isser, you're not allowed to have Tashmish Hamita in a room that has tefillin in it. So the Achronim have a debate about this. The Dirsh who quotes Machlokas Achronim, where they say that if Shlomo Zalman held it's mutter, because it's preventing you from using the location, so it's tiltal klishim lachta l'iser l'tzorech makomo. You don't need the spot where the tefillin is, but it's like a lamp that's spreading light all over the room that makes the room unusable. So you're allowed to move it for that reason, even though it's not physically being mafriya you, right? It's just it's just that there's a halacha that's preventing you from using the room in the way that that one would like to at that point. Whereas in Nissim Krell, it says, no, there's another Eitza. You could just do a double covering. A kiss betoch kiss works for Tashmishi Kedusha in a room where someone's having Tashramita. That happens sometimes where there's a mezuzah in the room. So most rooms, the mezuzah is outside of the room, because when you close the door, the mezuzah is on the other side of the door. But sometimes you have a master bedroom where the door is closed like that, and the mezuzah is inside the room. And the halacha is, like a room like this, probably for fire reasons or something, the door has to open up that way. So the mezuzah is inside the room, even when the door is closed. You look around your house, most of the rooms in your house will not be like that. That when you close the door, the mezuzah will be on the outside of the room. So most people, when they have Tashra Shamita, they can just close the door and the mezuzah is outside of the room. But if you're in a room where the mezuzah is inside the room, so the halacha is you need kis betoch kis, you need a kli betoch kli, and one of them has to be a kli she'eino kelyan. Has to be a kli that's not a designated kli for that item. So for a mezuzah, if your house is set up in such a way, it's annoying, but a couple would have to have like something to stick over the mezuzah, some Velcro or something to just put over the mezuzah in order to cover it. Because whatever's covering it now, even though it is a kli betoch kli, it is a kis betoch kis because it's wrapped in the plastic, plus in the in the case, but they're both kelyon. They're both the designated kli for the mezuzah. So anyway, so that's the discussion achronim, whether you're allowed to remove tefillin in order to have tashmish shemitah. Going back to the Rama, though, in Sif Dalud, the Rama says that a shofar is a kli shemenach d'leisir, and it can only be moved the sorach kufa makomos. So Mishra Brun, Sif Kon Chafei, says that the reason it's being the reason is that it's made to blow with, and that's not, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. But a lulav, like and hadash maravos also has no usage, and that's considered muksa machmas gufo. So whereas a shofar is a kli shemalach l'isur, because it's a kli, a lulav is not even a kli. A hadash maravos is not even a kli, and therefore that's a much higher level of muksa. That's muksa machmas gufo. The reason that a shofar is considered a kli and a lulav and hadasim and ravos are not considered a kli is that a shofar could be used to hold water, right? That's how they used to use a shofar as like a baby bottle. That's what someone wanted to touch up, I forgot who, that kisvu lechem al keren ashor, right? That the gezeros that the Greeks made, kisvu lechem al keren ashor, that ein lechem chelek v'elokei Yisrael, that you don't have any chelek in the God of Israel, why is it dafka al keren ashor? That was on the baby bottles. That the keren ashor was the baby bottle, that should be that to train the kids from very young, that they have no chelek in the God of Israel. So that's what makes a shofar a kli as opposed to lulav, which is just used for a mitzvah. If that's really what makes shofar a kli, it's not the fact that you could be tokeya bo, but it's the fact that it could be used as a water bottle. So Shlomo Zalman points out that most people he knows do not use a shofar as a water bottle nowadays, would not even have a hava amina of using a shofar as a water bottle nowadays. So he says, therefore, l'chora, it should not be a kli nowadays, and the shofar should be just like a lulav, and it should be also l'taltel, afilu tzorach gufo makomo. The Rama in Tafresh Nun Ches, in Hilchos Sukkah, passes that an esrog on sukkahs is not mukta, because you could use it lahariach bo. You could use an esrog for smelling. Hadasim are mukta, because you're not allowed to use them for smelling on sukkahs. You've got to look in Tafresh Nun Gimel, where the Shulchan Aruch goes through those dinim. So while you're allowed to smell an esrog, you're not supposed to smell hadasim, because hadasim are ikaro l'reach, whereas an esrog is ikar l'tam. It's normal usage is to eat it. So because it's designated for the mitzvah, you're not allowed to use it for whatever you would normally use it for. And therefore, hadasim, you're not allowed to smell, but esrog, you are allowed to smell. And therefore, an esrog is not muksa, but hadasim are muksa. However, Rav Eliashiv is quoted as saying that today, esrogim, no one uses esrogim for smell, and they're considered muksa machmas chesrum kis, because you don't use them and you set aside a place for them and you put them in a protective box. I don't know, no one uses an esrog for smell, is that true? It depends what you call using it for smell, right? Meaning people, very often, when they're taking it out, you know, it's geschmack, it smells good, we'll take a whiff of the esrog. I think what Rav Eliyashiv means is no one ever takes it out to smell it. Meaning you take it out, do the mitzvah, once you have it out, okay, might as well smell it also. But you see, sometimes children will take it out to smell it because they like the smell of the esrog. But usually that's followed by the father saying, "Put that away! No, it's an esrog. We can't do that, right?" So we don't. Most adults would not use it for smelling, and that's the shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman, is according to Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, also like Rav Eliyashiv. So it turns out that, you know, like all categories of mitzvah, it's somewhat fluid based on the way things are used. And it turns out, therefore, that a shofar is not a klishim lachdal iser, a shofar is a mukzah machmas chasron kis. It turns out that an esrog, which was not mukzah at all, because it's used for smell, since it's not used for smell, becomes a mukzah, and lachor becomes a mukzah machmas gufo, because it's also not a kli. So all of these categories can change based on the way that people use these different items. So it's one of those rare places where that which is mefurash in Shulchan Aruch is not necessarily the halacha. I think Rabbi Jachter once wrote an article in the RJJ Journal about that, about halachas that are mefurash in Shulchan Aruch that change over time because they're not really, the way it's expressed in Shulchan Aruch is not the halacha, it's a consequence of the halacha. The principle is the halacha. Like smoking on Yantif or showering on Yantif in opposite directions, right? Meaning it may say that you're not allowed to shower on Yantif, but that's the principle is that because it's a davar that's not shavu l'kol nefesh. But once it becomes shavu l'kol nefesh, it immediately becomes mutter. So those kinds of things can change. That's smoking on Yom Tov went in the opposite direction because it's clearly not Shavuot Kol Nefesh, and that was the Maisa with the, you know, hey fellas, need a light, right? This, my wife was Machshel. Okay, so Ayin Shem. Okay, so any questions? Vayter, Sefei, on we go. So Shulchan Aruch and Sefei Paskins Yesh Omrin or Yesh Matirin. So this is a discussion, right? So the sugya in the Gemara with David HaMelech, right? That was the earliest source of the dinim of muktzah. Now what do we do with David HaMelech's body? Shlomo HaMelech had to send the shayla, and he was told he could be metaltal al yidei kikar o tinok. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Yesh matirim letaltal klishem lach d'lisur, that any klishem lach d'lisur can be moved al yidei kikar o tinok. It happens to be that the Shulchan Aruch, a little bit later on, Simin Shin Yud Aleph, is Dine Meis B'Shabbos Ushar Tiltul Minatzad. So that's where Kikar Atinok really comes up. In Shin Yud Aleph Aleph, Meis Shemutal B'Makom Sheyari Alav Mipnei Hadleika. You're afraid the body's going to be burnt. You know, it's going to be an unintended cremation. So Im Yesh Kikar Atinok Metaltalo Al Yedayim. If there's a Kikar Atinok, use that. V'Emein Lo Kikar Atinok. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes to what to do if you don't have a Kikar Atinok. But that's the Makar of Kikar Atinok. So Shulchan Aruch quotes, a Yesh Matirim by all klishim lachdal iser to use a Kikar Atinok. However, when the Gemara said, the Gemara, if you look up, the Gemara says, Lo Amru Kikar Atinok Elo Lemeis Bilvad. So the Shulchan Aruch, who's quoting the Yesh Matirim, it's the Shitas HaRash. And the Shitas HaRash is that when the Gemara says that it's only Lemeis Bilvad, it means Muktzah Machmas Gufo. So all Muktzah Machmas Gufo cannot be moved on Shabbos even with a Kikar Tinok, except for a Mace. Meaning, what Mace is an exception to is that Mace is not a Klishim Lachdal Iser. He's worse. A Mace is Muktzah Machmas Gufo. So the heter of Kikar Tinok is unique to a Mace in that it's the only thing in the category of Muktzah Machmas Gufo that Kikar Tinok is good enough for. But if you have a klishim lachdal iser, for sure Kikar Atinok is going to be good enough, which is wild. Meaning that means that klishim lachdal iser is mutl l'tzorach gufo, l'tzorach mukomo, tiltul minatzad, and tiltul begufo, and also al yidei Kikar Atinok, according to the Shitas HaRash. Even if you're not being metaltal l'tzorach gufo mukomo, even if it's a mechamel l'tzel situation. So the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Chavav Lav davka kikar. Who adinim nasan shar chayfetz amuter betocha. It doesn't have to be a kikar. V'inei deyazu idas harash. Aval harbe me'arishonim cholken alze. He says, this is the sheet of the Rosh. Shulchan Aruch only quotes it. He doesn't quote those who argue. Usvir lu delo itiru kikar atino gel meis bulval detal tal yedem. Tlokamon mishmishin yalv sevalv. Aval lo b'shar dover moksa afshu hu kli. V'chein ichri hu harbe achronim. So Mishmura says, the Rosh is a das yachid. Many achronim paskin against the Rosh because all the Rishonim paskin against the Rosh. V'kol ze dafka mi'aniach betocha kli shar dover shenu miyuchada. Aval munuch sham dover miyuchada kamo shum b'maducha shoshochin ba o shamunach b'kadeiru k'tzas me'atav shalu kli amlu t'tato kli agav hamachal. So Mishbura quotes that the Rishonim argued with the Rosh that this kula was only about a dead body because of the kavod ha'meis issue, because otherwise it's a kavod ha'brios issue. The dignity of the dead body is important. So Mishbura differentiates between the case of kikar atinok, where placing a non-muktza item on top of a muktza item, versus a case where the muktza item's entire purpose is to hold a non-muktza item. Meaning in the case where you have a muktza kli that holds non-muktza stuff, then you're allowed to move the muktza together with the non-muktza. So if you have a grinder, that the Rosh says, a kli, which is kli shem nachbul iser, that has minced garlic in it or something like that, or some sort of spice that hasn't yet been removed, or you have a pot full of food, then you're allowed to move that on Shabbos. It's not considered muktzah because it becomes batel to the kli, like we've already alluded to before. Therefore, you can carry the pot itself because it's not considered muktzah at all. It is different than a basas l'davar asur v'amuter, because basas l'davar asur v'amuter can only be carried by the non-muktzah base, since the muktzah item doesn't become bottle to the buses, right? But over here, you're even allowed to carry the pot, right? There's a bigger chiddush than buses. Right? When it comes to buses, so you have a davar muktza on it, something that's not muktza, you're not allowed to pick up the muktza item off of the non-muktza. Even if the buses is l'davar asur u'l'davar mutter, you have to pick up the buses. You have to pick up the base that's holding the davar asur davar mutter. But over here, the muktza item is the pot. You're allowed to lift the pot, and you're allowed to hold it by the pot, because the pot becomes batel to the food, and therefore the pot's not muktza at all. It loses its muktza status entirely. That's the extra chiddush that you have when you're dealing with a pot that has food in it. In Yalkut Yosef, Rav Vadya is make like the Shulchan Aruch, the Klisha Machta Lisser can be moved al yidei kikar atinok, and the Sharet Zion in Sifkon Chavdal says behefsin meruba, meaning it is the pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, so you can't ignore it, but we're not thrilled about it. So makom hefsin meruba, you can be makel. Shmir Shabbos quotes from Mishra Brura and Simin Shin Lamed Daled that we're makel b'makom hefsin even for moving an item that's muktzah machmas gufo with a kikar atinok. And Rabbi Kiveger says that Hu Adin Klishu Muktza Machmas Chesun Kis Nira Demuter after Inbo Hetala Atzmal Tzor Kufa Makomo. Rabbi Kiveger even goes so far as to say Muktza Machmas Chesun Kis is also Mutrali De Kikar Otinok. So you have a wide range of opinions of what Kikar Otinok works for. Right, it could either work only for a mace, which is the pashtus of the Gemara, and that's what the Mishmura says: harbe rishonim, harbe achronim. That only works for a mace. Then you have the mechaber that says no, not just only for a mace, but it works for all kli shemalacht al iser, just not for things that are muktzah machmas gufo. And then you have Rabbi Kivega that says that it's even for things that are muktzah machmas chesron kis. So a wide range of opinions of what kikar otinok is going to be beneficial for. It's a chiddush kikar otinok because it's not the normal din of buses, right? Buses normally has to be there before Shabbos, and here you are adding something on Shabbos. So for whatever reason they were makel. So according to the simple reading of the Gemara, kikar otinok makes a lot of sense that they enacted such a din called kikar otinok because of nivel ha'meis, because of bizayin ha'meis, because of kavod ha'brios. So you have a dead body lying out there. When you don't have that factor to apply kikar otinok is a very big chiddush and needs a hesber as to why we would even have such a kula of kikar otinok in these other cases. So I think like the Mishnah Berurah says, we're knowing to be machmir. We don't often utilize kikar otinok. And even by a mace, usually the mace is not really mutal b'bizayon, and they don't really need to move the mace. There is a practice that that when someone dies, they move the body to the floor. So, I mean, there are certain things Chevra Kadisha does, or the, whoever's in the room with the person when they die, that you're supposed to do. Are you familiar with this at all? Anyone ever been in a room when someone died? So you're supposed to straighten out the limbs of the person. You're supposed to close their eyes. First, you have to wait to make sure they're dead. You're supposed to wait a little bit, because if the person's still a ghost, the Gemara compares it to like a flickering candle that you put your finger on it and it extinguishes. So it could be murder if the person has any life in them. So you're not supposed to touch a ghost. It's usher to be nogea of the ghost. So you wait a few minutes. After the person dies, and then you straighten out their limbs, you close their eyes, you cover their face, and really the Gemara says that you're supposed to put them on the floor. The Shulchan says you're supposed to put them on the floor, but likely the reason to put them on the floor was because the floor was cooler and they would decompose less quickly on the floor. So if you're in a climate controlled environment, like someone dies at home on Shabbos, so Pashtus is that you wouldn't do that, meaning you don't need the bed, you don't need the space that they're on, and it's Muxamachos Gufo anyway. So whether you can apply the Heter of Kikar Otinok Bismanenu, or whether you should apply the Heter of Kikar Otinok, is not so Pashtus at all. Meaning, if you assume, like the Rov Rishonim and Achronim, that the Heter was only because of Bizayin HaMeis, and that's why you need to move the mace, to put the mace in a cold place where he's not going to decompose. Well, if the air conditioning is on and the mace is not going to decompose any more quickly on the bed than he will on the floor, it's not pashut at all that you're allowed to do those things. And certainly the straightening of the limbs and all that also, that's also tiltal muktzah, l'chora. Yeah, and in hospitals they usually don't let you put the body on the floor anyway. When the Chevra Kadisha comes and wheels out, takes the body, but they usually don't. They don't want bodies on the floor. And it's not a good look.
The bigger aspect of we understand that the floor is for an alternative reason, or it's not what you asked me today, but at least washing out the legs, etc., is still practice. Why wouldn't you say don't below the floor?
It's a mitzvah. It's just what we do. Yeah, it's a mitzvah. I'm trying to think if that's what we do on Shabbos. Anyone see discussions about how we handle Mesaim? We'll get to it. I don't know if we'll get to it, but that's the discussion in Shulchan.
Do you know what to do by a guy who dies?
By a guy?
Is it by a
Jew? I think it's dafka by a Jew. I think so, I think all these things are dafka by a Jew. Also, if you're there, I guess for those who learn Hilchos Aveilos, you got to know that if you're there b'shas yitzias neshama, there's the din of the Gemara, you got to tear kriya also. If you're around that b'shas yitzias neshama, so shaila, why doctors don't have to do that? Right? Poskim say doctors would be hesitant about treating people in the end of life situations because they keep losing shirts to it every time. So maybe because of that, doctors don't have to do that. A lot of times, family members are around, so family members don't tear kriya b'shas yitzias neshama usually because they're going to tear kriya anyway at the levaya. But if a non-family member, non-doctor, happens to be around at shas yitzias neshama, so pashtus says they should tear kriya. If they're there at Shas Yitzias Neshama, it's like a Sefer Torah Shinisraf that you tear Kriya, right? There are a number of places where we compare a Sefer Torah to human beings, so that's one of them. So the next piece that we have to do is about broken pieces of Kelim and Mutzimachmas Gufo. So that's going to be the next few Se'ifim, and that will take us some time probably to do, but stay tuned to exactly what time Shir is going to be on Wednesday, and how we're going to navigate the 18 different things we have to do on Wednesday. Okay, Be'ez Hashem.